All right, welcome back to the Black and Blue Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Morgan. Thank you guys for following us thus far. If you're new to this channel, make sure to hit that subscribe button. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Patreon. We got to thank our sponsors, Roka Performance Eyewear and Unit Solutions, Non-Lethal Training Systems. But without further ado, I'd like to introduce our special guest, Pat McNamara, a.k.a. Mr. Mustavio.
All right.
Yes.
Yay. You got that plug in already. Thank you for having me, Kyle. No, appreciate being here.
It's an honor, man. Like I said, on the range, we had some time this morning on the range. So be on the lookout for that content too. Ran him through our cold start. Also the Blaze X drill, which was phenomenal for us to experience together. And I just admire what you've been doing for as long as you've been doing it, and how motivating, and I know motivation is such a taboo kind of word because it's fleeting, right? It comes and it goes, but the discipline that connects to the motivation, that makes you motivational.
Right.
And that's where I think, that's what I admire the most about you, is that you've been consistently you in the public eye for a long time now.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I mean, it, like you said, I've been doing it for a minute, you know.
How long has it been?
You mean like with a social media presence?
Yeah, like in the social media presence.
I retired in 05, and I think I put my first YouTube video out in like 06 or 07.
What was that like, just mindset wise? Like
it was fun. It was a new world for me. And I decided to do borderline on ridiculousness. Like, if you dig way back there, you know, climbing the rope, pushing my truck, carrying heavy things, balancing them over my head, doing like shot impossible stuff. And it gained traction pretty quickly. I didn't enter the social media world until 2013, like Instagram and stuff like that. But yeah, I've been trying to stay true to it, you know, try to stay true to the brand. And it's, because that's what it's about, you know. You have to consider yourself a product when you're on your own. You have your own business, and branding becomes very important. And for me, I realized that it's not that hard because I just stayed genuine, and I think people are genuinely craving genuine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's been the biggest thing, is like, because if people, you know, see you in a snapshot on some, maybe some more of those ridiculous, you know, ridiculousness kind of older stuff, or they just catch a clip of like even the basic dude stuff, like or Sentinel Sunday, right? Like if they don't pay attention and they're going to miss a lot of the lessons in that moment, they're like, oh, that's an act,
right?
Like he's acting like that. And I'm here to tell you, like, that's just, I've known of you for a long time, and this is our first time meeting formally. In passing, I think it's happened, but we've talked about that a little bit. And my point is that's who you are. Like, and that's clear to me. And that's what I think is so important, is we become these public personas, because I used to be very apprehensive to use the word persona, because I'm not putting on an act. But the thing is I think a great example is Mr. Mustavia.
Right.
Right. That is a persona, but it's an extension of you.
Yeah.
And that's how it remains true. And I think in contrast of how hard it is to act a certain way that's not authentic to you, and how that can be seen through. Right. And because for one, it's taxing, right? That would be extremely taxing for me to just be like, you see it a lot in our industry where they're like chest pounding and like, just, you know, fill them in and this and like, no, man, like that's crazy. Like it's, we're trying to motivate people, but ultimately to do good, to be better, right? To be a better person in our society. And that's what is needed so much. But so many people are so attracted to that polarizing, that like, oh, you know, like this is all I do every day, all day. And I think you've just done a great job of like, you talk about motivation but I do want to like the Mr. Mustavia, let's talk about that.
Like, yeah, I could go on, you know, real quick to recap. I find myself in a unique position, and it was by accident, to make people better people. there was a time where I talked to my wife where I started getting all this correspondence, you know, of, hey, man, thank you so much for this and thank you for that and on and on. And I told Rebecca, I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. And she said, yeah, just keep doing that. But so I came up with different personas or skits or whatever it is for feeds. But I'm just me in them. I'm not acting like somebody else.
What would that be called, Starship? Like it's not necessarily personas. It's just, it's structure to a content strategy, right? Like
I'm just like a character playing a
yeah,
character.
Yeah, but so like the Sentinel Sunday would be one. Like
right.
It's
Sunday Sentinel Sermon was one of them.
Yep.
And that's just PSAs. And those are little snippets that came out of my Sentinel book. You know, they're just 30-second PSAs of how to just exercise more awareness out and about and how you can better protect yourself and your family with the assets available to you and your skill set.
What's your number one tool?
Is awareness.
Yes.
I mean, awareness is number one. People say,
amen.
They ask all the time about EDC.
Yeah.
And the first thing I say is wits. Yeah. You know, we can't neglect or so many of us, and we talked about this earlier, we're devolving rapidly as human beings. And we're slipping further and further away from our primal being. And one of the main things is intuition. You know, wits, intuition, situational awareness. So that's my number one when it comes to EDC is this right here. The mind is the final weapon. All else is supplemental.
Yeah.
The gun's the last thing I mentioned when it comes to EDC.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a rag, a knife, a flashlight, a lighter. But
well, good as a tool if it's not there when you need it.
Right.
And that goes back to the mindset too, though.
Right.
Like I like it starts there. And even with the fundamentals, when I talk fundamentals of marksmanship, vision is where I start. Because absolutely. If you can't see it, it doesn't matter how fast you are.
Right.
Like, so what you focus on, your awareness is your number one tool, man. I agree 1000% with you.
But the Mr. Mastavio came from just awareness of lack of awareness because of ubiquitous assimilation. You know, we're all attached to screens now, right? Everybody's attached to a screen.
What'd you call it, a 45-degree syndrome?
45-degree syndrome. I'll see families, bro. Families where the man is with a family is crossing the road looking at his cell phone, or where a family will sit down in the restaurant and they're issued devices. So the kids are looking at a device. It breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. Breaks my heart. We're robbing children of awareness and wonder. Mm-hmm. So there was a combination of things that coupled with my wife going to college, getting another degree in social work. Mm-hmm. And she would come home heartbroken every night. Just because of the rapid decline of
a family unit.
Yeah. I mean, just it's so I said, well, we could be part of the problem or part of the solution. I said, I have an idea. And I have a million ideas. So I have my executive assistant, my wife, Rebecca, to run those ideas past so she could raise the BS flag if they're nonsense or not. Mm-hmm. And I said, I have a kid show in mind. I figured if parents are going to force feed a device, here comes the hypocrisy, right? So if parents are going to force feed their children a device, they may as well watch me telling them about the benefits of getting outside. Mm. So I came up with the name Mr. Mastavio because the kids in my neighborhood started calling me that in 2020 during coronation.
Oh, wow.
Why? They don't even know. But I answer to it now. They all call me that. Without even batting an eye, I just answer to it. So I call it Mr. Mastavio's World of Wonder, where it's cool to be curious because we're robbing children of curiosity. Yeah. You know, kids need to be bored. They need to be curious. They need to be full of wonder. There's so much available to us, you know, in our backyards, in our parks, in our school playground, from the smallest insect and flower to the biggest tree. To the stars in the sky, be curious. So they're short episodes and they're small clips because of our attention span is less than that of a goldfish now. So I make sure that they're small clips and they're all about learning. It's very Mr. Roger-esque, But instead of Mr. Rogers, because I grew up on Mr. Rogers. I was born in 1965. So I'm a child of the 70s. And Mr. Rogers would come inside every day. He would take off of his loafers, put on his tennies, and he would sing his song. I start every episode exiting outside. I sit on my back porch. I take my shoes off and talk to the kids. And then the first thing we do is walk in the grass, that's right. Barefoot. And then, you know, we let the chickens out and talk about what's growing in the garden, and let's go explore the beaver dam, and let's look at this thing, you know, and find the beauty in all things, from the creepiest spider and snake to, you know, feeding green beans to my dog, Grace. You know, it's very innocent. And we also, back to the 70s, culminate very Jack LaLanne-ish. We culminate with an exercise. Now it's time to exercise.
Who's
Jack LaLanne? So he was he was number one, I think, when it came to workout programs on TV.
Okay,
but it was very rudimentary. Here's dips on chairs. Here's rolling up a newspaper for your forearms. Here's this stretch, that stretch, and he passed away a decade and a half ago, I think, but at like 90. In his 90s, but he would do all the way up until his, I think, 70s. I mean, he was doing ridiculous stuff. You know, I'm 70 years old. I'm going to pull 70 boats for a mile through this bay. You know, I mean, just ridiculous. But he was the first fitness guru, the one that comes to mind probably more than anybody.
Yeah.
You know, Jack LaLanne. So I culminate every episode with a little exercise.
Yeah. Get him moving even more than just exploring, right? Because exploring is a part of your...
Exploring is huge. And and so there's the underlying, my subliminal type of message is awareness. So we bird watch a lot. Mm-hmm. I want them to, because when you're bird watching, you have to look you have to be omnicognizant. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're no longer omnicognizant. So if I could get a kid into bird watching or fishing or whatever it is, my demographic too is very young. It's like 4 to 8. Yeah. It's very young. But I haven't lost that sense of wonderment as a child. Yeah. So I could talk to a 4-year-old, you know, and I just talk to him like a human being. There's no condescending tone of voice. Mm-hmm. You know, or I don't have to mince words or modify words. This is not a doggy, it's a dog. This is not a fishy, it's a fish. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of, those kind of things. But I love it. I love it. Yeah. Mr. Mostavio's World of Wonder.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's the why you're doing it is so desperately needed.
Yes.
And so I want to help any way I can get the word out with that, because you're right. Like, it's this double-edged sword where you're like, well, let's put the devices down. But if we are going to have them up during periods, like, mm-hmm. What are they consuming? Right. And I talk about like childish ways of thinking, acting have to cease when you become a man. That's the 1 Corinthians 13:11 reference that I said earlier. But it doesn't mean that I don't have that reverence and love for me, my Heavenly Father, and for others, right? That childish mm-hmm. kind of innocent love. It's not being naive. That's what's missing in men. Being a good man isn't just being this the ability to protect others. It's to protect them physically, mentally, and spiritually, right. And to guide them and to lead them. And to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what our children, because our country, our society, but more specifically, our country needs a massive societal change, as you know.
Yes.
But it's not going to be you and I that do it.
Right.
But we can start to lay the foundation for that.
We and can then trickle it in.
Our children and their children are going to be what changes it. But to be vulnerable and capable, it to me is a warrior. And that's what we need to be more of as men. And you being Mr. Mostavio for those periods of times with your heart in your intention set on what it's set for, like is being vulnerable, but also capable.
Right.
Right. That's a warrior. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what more men need to be able to grasp. Like, man, I need to be able to provide safety and security, not just physically, man.
Right.
there's a ton of dudes that are just providers, and that's not enough. I got to be a protector of this and the spirit side of
absolutely.
It. And I think it's a wonderful initiative that you're onto, man. So we'll definitely plug Mischievous Topic because it's its own channel, right?
Yeah. It's a YouTube channel. It's an Instagram channel. It's a Facebook channel.
There you go. We'll plug all those in the episode. Yeah, so check those out if you guys have younger kids that
They're fun.
Want Mac to run them through Mr. Mastavio's World of Wonder. He says it's a little more exciting than I do.
Yep.
But
gotta be animated.
Yeah, dude.
World of Wonder.
That's what you said to me on the range when we did that little basic dude stuff thing.
Yep.
And you're like, say it a little more.
A little more vociferous.
And you heard my wife, you heard Erica start laughing.
Yep.
Because she says it to me all the time. Because I have the only time I'm like super animated is in CQB training or on the range training.
Necessary.
Teaching. But then I have to be, if I'm going to be a public persona, a public influence, a person to influence, which I am, I also need to continue to grow too.
Right.
And to be more, you know, World of Wonder, you know, I don't know, something like that. Like it's, I got to speak like from a, not a position of authority, of course, but like inflection and little things that I didn't think were that big of a deal, but they are. I'd like to take a moment and talk about our sponsor, Unit Solutions. Most people who carry a firearm don't train nearly enough, man. I get it. Ammo's expensive. Time is limited. Dry fire gadgets can just be boring. Unit Solutions has engineered a new standard for at-home training with the Unit 9 Compact. The Unit 9 has been precisely manufactured with the same slide weight, trigger break, and realistic recoil as a live fire pistol. It fits your standard holsters, accepts all your standard kit, and is 100% safe to use in and around your home. Whether you're a civilian or a professional, the Unit 9 Compact replicates the fit, form, and function of your real firearm, providing honest feedback so every rep transfers. It doesn't ask you to lower your expectations when training. It asks you to meet them. It's available now on pre-order and on sale May 1st. At unitsolutions.com.
We're always in the developmental stage, you know, or at least we should be, you know, I mean, I think it's important to continuously learn things, hence like basic dude stuff, but also learn about yourself, you know, and to be introspective, you know, we talked about that earlier, you know, to be truthful with yourself about yourself, that introspection and to exercise objective self-critique about your actions.
Dude, that's,
I have to do that a lot.
You know why? For me, like my actions is where it had to start. Mm. Like I had to take my actions and control them. Right. And then I worked my way the other way. Mm-hmm. Actions, feelings, thoughts, right? Now I'm working my way from thoughts to feelings to actions, but that cycle isn't broken. Mm. So we have this thought and then we have a feeling associated with that thought. If we can't make sense of that, that's where anxiety and stress and all that stuff comes in our own introspection. And then an action can be observed, can be seen. But for me, like with my drinking and sobriety and the way I was acting and showing up for people that I cared about, you know, I had to start there, work my way the other way. But now, and this may be for some of you that are listening to this, like, now it's taking every thought captive and making obedient to Christ for me. And that's what that means is I have to measure that. I have to view that from the word of God, right? The sword. And that helps me like scrutinize the thought and then immediately give that to my higher power if it's not honoring of him. And because taking every thought captive, the reason that Paul told us that is because it's the hardest thing to do. Our thoughts are racing thousands of miles an hour and they're just, and some make sense, some don't, but then it's what matters the most is like, you know, thinking a certain way connects to a feeling for sure. Right. And then that feeling in most cases connects to an action, and that's what we have to take control of. And that's why I say the childish ways of thinking and acting. Like I don't stay in hotels by myself when I travel. I don't travel alone. So if you ask me to come do something, there's this awesome opportunity out, you know, away from here. If it was, you know, local, that's different. But if I had to go through an airport to get there or drive a long distance to get there and I can't get my wife or someone on the team to go, I'm like, hey man, sorry, I'd love to, but I can't.
Right.
And it's because the thing is like, I've been sober 4.5 years, and that was the start of everything that I've gotten, that I have, and then I'm going to have. So if I lose sight of that, and that's just taking back control of being a man. And, but the beauty of that is there's all these wonderful things and joy and peace out there everywhere I go. And it's just, it's in nature. It's everywhere. Like even being on the range with you today, this morning, like you made me appreciate things on a range that I've used a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that we had muscadines.
Right.
And one of the first things you saw is like, you said something about them. I was like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then the bird thing, I was like, dang, dude, that's actually a really good point. But it's all around us, and we
it's all around us.
We that 45 degree syndrome,
it's killer.
I'm guilty of, man. Yep. And it's and we're on a social platform right now. Right. Like it's
there's hypocrisy.
There is, but, yeah. Right. But I think
we understand.
But we, if not me, then who?
Right.
If not us doing this, then who? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Someone else is going to feed our children with a bunch of crap,
bunch of garbage.
Which is what's happening. That's where the chauvinism, like the male macho this and that happens, and all these in the feminist, you know, this and that. Like, if not me, then who?
Right, because that's what sells on the interwebs today. Scared, yeah. Angry, and stupid. That's what gets traction. Scared, angry, or stupid. That's what gets most traction. So I think it's incumbent upon us to try to break the mold, you know, try to break the algorithm. Yeah. And put out content that could actually feed the mind and soul, that can make a human being a better human being, that could teach him a task. You know, the basic dude stuff for me is a prime example. People think, they say to me, bro, you know a lot of things. I don't necessarily. I do know a lot of things, but not all the stuff I'm putting out. I'm going to learn it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I got to figure out. And then we have, you know, this World Wide Web thing. So we have a world.
But when you're doing that, you're not selling something that you don't have, right? Like it's something that you think is good for you when you bring it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, yep.
And that's the curiosity piece. Yep. There's things that you do have that we have a firm grasp on. And that's where, man, this balance of being a quiet professional versus a silent.
Right.
Like, and not everyone's been given the gift to speak to a camera, to speak to an audience on camera, mm-hmm. To deliver a message, to get people excited or curious about, you know, how they look at life. But the guys and gals that have been given those gifts, we can lose sight of those. They can become just like any skill. If we're not sharpening that, like we can lose it. So, because I mean, knowledge is one of the most powerful gifts that we can give.
Yeah.
It's also the most selfish if we don't share it.
Right.
So, I think it's wonderful. The basic dude stuff is, and it's, man, it's like, it's one of those things that, you know, we don't know where people are. And I think your wife, right, Rebecca, is that
yes.
Right? She, you know, her saying that to you a long time ago about mm-hmm. like, whatever, just keep doing it, what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'm like, I don't know how to do this. Yeah. I've said this, I've literally sat, not in this room, but other rooms with my wife and others. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like when it comes to this, when it comes to Patreon, when it comes to podcasts, when it comes to social media,
right?
Like you put me on the range. I've learned how to teach, mm-hmm. and that's been something that's I've translated from years of military experience into, you know, law enforcement and private citizens. Like I had to learn to see if this is something I could do, and then I continue to hone that. But it's way more natural for me to do those things. But that's not all I have. That's not all that I have to give. Mm-hmm. And I can't do this forever. And you know that.
Yep.
And that's, I'm super like if we could talk about that too,
oh
like you've done this, you've been in this space, not just on social media, but training mm-hmm. and teaching. And, cause I think teaching is different than instructing. I think instructors are dime a dozen, man. Like you can just, you can get good at regurgitating a curriculum. And if it's a good curriculum, then those guys and gals are needed to enforce some sort of, to deliver some sort of message. But the teachers, man, they should be the ones that are, those are special gifts that we've got.
Yeah, you have to be, I've said it many times, you want to seek out the right person who's going to say the right thing to the right person at the right time.
Yeah.
Without inundation, And
inundation meaning like overwhelming.
Too much.
Too much. Saying, yeah. Too much, too soon.
Too many are too eager to say too much.
Yeah.
You know, way too much. So they get inundated.
Too much, too soon. I say that quite a bit. Yep. In CQB especially. Yep. I'm like,
and that comes too much, with too experience, soon. Right? Yeah. By virtue of doing it, you know, you learn over time. And if you're not, then, you know, if you're just going to be stuck in a rut. You know, if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten.
Yeah.
So for me, it was a learning curve. And I don't know how many thousands of people I've trained. I'm thinking 15 to 20,000. Yeah. And the amount
since
of
when? Course, like 2006?
Yeah, but I'll say just since on my own, 2010. And because I was pushing. And then you fall into this perpetual cycle of
16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you can't slow down because the wheels on the bus go round and round.
And there's no end to training, man. There's no finish line. Mm-hmm. And that's the part where people like us, if we don't have this internal and external kind of throttle or carburetor calibration,
right?
Like our wives, like we'll just go
governor.
Yeah. Governor. Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Because, you know, we want to give as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And then there's no end to what we can give. If we're delivering a good product, there's no end to it, as you know. And the thing with training, there's no finish line. Good. Good. There's like endless amounts of challenges that you can present. You can get good. I think to be a good shooter is to be a great shooter is consistently good under pressure on demand. That's a great shooter. Now in CQB, a tactician there's no finish line. There's no finish line because a new floor plan.
Yep.
Like a new mission
just
set.
Just talked about this the other night.
Yep. A new adversary.
Right.
Like the enemy is the only constant. They get to vote who, what, when, where, and why. Mm-hmm. And there's limitless problems to solve from a tactical team, but also a patrol, but also a prepared citizen out there just taking ownership of their environments. Mm. That's what I want. In every course we do, take away things, take away two or three tangible skills that you can work on. Yep. And we capture those at the end of each day. And then we send them to them to remind them and with instructor feedback. But the confidence that if they're in the right place at the right time, they're the right person. And to take ownership of their environments. Because imagine, and you know this, we get to impact, that's that ripple effect, people across the country, whether they come to us or we go to them, like we're making this ripple effect if we're leaving them a little better than we found them, but also challenging them with taking ownership of their environments. And there's that line of paranoia and preparation, right?
Of course.
And I can't tell you where it's at, but I can tell you the first person that's going to see it is the one you love most. And if you haven't found her or him yet, they're out there. And I'm telling you, listen to those people that God puts in your life to be that mirror, you know, when you're dancing on that line a little too close, but we got to do something. If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, man, even if it wasn't a duck, I'd rather call it a duck, you know? And I'm not saying just skin that smoke wagon. I'm saying just take ownership, man. Avoid a situation.
Yep.
Before you just, that 45 degree syndrome, like awareness. It goes back to awareness.
Best way to get out of bad situations, don't get there in the first place.
Yep. I know it's like there's a lot of similarities in the way that you explain things in the way that I do too, even because of, you know, just we're cut from the same cloth and that's the protector in us.
Yep.
You know, and that's why our active shooter course is called the Protector Mindset Course.
Right on.
So it's because it's a mindset. You could take that everywhere with you.
Yep.
You know, but the travel thing, you mentioned something earlier about that travel thing. And that was something that's like,
the heebie-jeebies just thinking about.
People want us at like, man, we got so many leads and it's awesome. Thank you guys for submitting all these training inquiries and leads all across the country. But the bottom line is like, we have to be very selective. Learning those lessons, right? Because I made this about the mission more than the real mission, which is to be a better man, a better husband, and a better father, and community member, right? In that order, right? So for me, like in the beginning, Uvalde happened in 22, and I just went and did the first protector mindset. I drove all the way south of San Antonio and put on this course, and it's awesome that it's developed over 4 years, mm-hmm. and it's essentially the same end state, but now it's just grown, evolved, right? Yep. And the thing is like I would just go, just going in debt, giving everything away, and my heart was in the right place, but I was a bit lost, you know, because Erica looked at me and was like, Kyle, like I didn't sign up for this. This was our third attempt at the same marriage. And I've been married for 21 years to the strongest person I know, which you met this morning.
Yep.
And, you know, it's the reminder of those things is so important for us, because you just saying it again this morning to me is like, well, I'm not that unique in my problems. Mm-hmm. Like we are wired in such a way, we're cut from that cloth of that servant leadership, and we will give and give and lose sight of our own health, even our own relationships that matter most. And it's not because you get your identity from, oh yeah, they trained with me, so, and they had a good experience, so that means I'm good. Mm. It's just that servant leadership of wanting to help sharpen the edges of others, but without losing sight of what's most important, man, which is our family.
Right.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah. And it's easy to do. Like it's easy to go. You said 4 courses in a month.
Yeah. Four. I was doing it for 15 years, 10 years on my own, but for about 12, I was running about 4 courses a month, 10 on my own. And it was, so four courses a month. And these are different states. So these are 2-day courses and at the time my open enrollments were big. There were like 16 people. So different state every week. So all your lightweight crap, 2 Pelican cases of it, dragging that crap to the airport, mm-hmm. crappy plane flight, crappy rental car, crappy hotel, and probably crappy range. You travel on Friday, you come back on Monday. And then Tuesday, you're starting maintenance, you're starting registration, certificates, doing all the admin stuff, mm-hmm. your fulfillment, and you're shipping to all your targets to
the next
2 weeks.
Oh yeah. The
yes.
One
of, yep. You're leapfrogging.
Yep.
You know, all that stuff. So during that week, Tuesday through Thursday, there's no time off. There's no time off. Friday, you're back on a plane. You come back on Monday. You're smoked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all the admin stuff. And it didn't stop. And you can't stop it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's white space on my calendar. Well, that white space obviously needs to be filled in because when you're on your own, when you're your own person, you have to jam crap into the pipeline.
Yeah.
You know, if there's room in the pipeline, you're jamming it in there. Even if it's overflowing, you're still jamming into that pipeline. Because you don't know what's around the corner. And it's happened to me a couple times. Like in 2013 sequestration, for example, light switch went off, or this contract falls through, or whatever it is. So there's no stopping it, you know, and you're writing in 2017, you're writing 2018 schedule.
Yep.
And you can't stop it. Thankfully, coronation stopped it for me.
Yeah.
The lights went out, nobody's traveling anymore. And that's when I retooled everything. Everything got retooled.
Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you think came out of that reset for you?
Out of coronation?
Yeah.
Man, 2020 was my best year ever. And it's heartbreaking, you know, because I know a lot of people suffer, especially children, because we kept kids out of school.
Yeah.
It was the cruelest thing ever. Why? No reason. Because kids weren't getting sick. Kids are tough. They're supposed to get sick. You know, kids are. So it broke my heart that kids were kept out of school, socialization, free lunches. So kids were going hungry. But for me, I generated different businesses. For instance, in 2019, I started Get You Some Bands. What did everybody need in 2020? Home gym. I was the rubber band man. I got custody of my kids. I readjusted my schedule. I refunded everybody who signed up in 2020 and just started doing everything local. Everything fell into place. I started,
up to that point, you hadn't done that many local courses. It was all kind of travel.
It was all travel. Yep. Little bit of local, but most of it was travel. It's all over the country.
Yeah.
Training 48 states.
Yeah.
48 states. Yep. And then a lot of them repeaters, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of times I've repeated courses or training locations. But yeah, 2020 was.
Well, I mean, Rick had trained with you, I don't know, a long time ago. Yeah. Up in Connecticut.
Like, yeah, that was probably 2016 or something like that. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good year for me. I got to readjust, rethink, retool, and then, you know, come up with different avenues of income. And things just got a little easier, mm-hmm. you know, and it was good because timing, you know, I'm getting older. And, whew, man, how long can I push? I remember looking at my calendar in January of 2020 and going, it was daunting. And I was tracer burnout.
Yeah.
At that point, I was tracer burnout. I mean, I was looking at it with dismay, you know.
Starship, do you know what tracer burnout means? So tracer burnout is at some point, a tracer round is like a marking, a round that's, you know, it's essentially fired in cadence with your other rounds, but it's typically on, you know, belt-fed machine guns and stuff, but it allows you to walk your rounds on and see them. But there's a certain point where it fizzles off too at certain distance. So that's the tracer burnout.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Yep. Yep. So the notion of traveling again, and you know, I started in January and went through March, and then in March,
yeah,
it all happened. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. You know, because here's what I found, man. What I discovered was one of our greatest commodities, or one of our most valued assets as somebody who's in business for himself, was time. Mm-hmm. Now I had time, and I'd never had time. I've never had it before. I don't think in my life. You know, you get snippets of it here and there. Yeah. You know, when you have a military career and then you're on business for yourself. You don't have time. You know, you're always busy, always. And now I had time and I went, wow, I'm going to do stuff with this time. I'm going to do things that, you know, I'm going to get busy. But I was busy just improving me, improving family, improving, trying to help other people be better people. You know, it was hot on the basic dude stuff. The kids show wasn't a thing yet. Sunday Sentinel sermon was still going, and a lot of charity work, because I was still making money because I was the rubber band man.
Yeah.
So charity was great, you know, because kids are going hungry.
Yeah.
Because they're being forced to stay out of school. So they're not getting lunches, and not getting socialization. So Rebecca and I did a lot of that, but it was wonderful for us. It was wonderful. It was a great, moment for us to retool, rethink, and just reorganize, refit that whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, 6 years ago, right? Yeah. Over 6 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't seem like that long. If you just saying 6 years, but to me, that's like an eternity right now, because as you're talking through that, like March, I was getting a fusion on my neck, my C6, C7. And then COVID happened, like mm-hmm. full blown. So then I didn't see a doctor in person for a year plus.
Right.
And it was just pain med prescription after pain med after pain med. The reason I bring that up is because here we are, mm-hmm. you know, 6 years later, and it doesn't erase any of the past, but some of the darkest times of my life and the ones I care about most really happened after that time frame.
Yep.
And it lasted for, till November 21st, 2021. And that's when I got sober. But the pain med piece was a really tough one for me and for so many because, man, it was the first time I felt like, man, I'm not actually in pain. Holy mm-hmm. crap. And then it's like, I need these.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, now I'm abusing these.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then and then alcohol came back into my life, or I let it back in, and now I'm on those and drinking and then coming off of those, coming off of those, man, that was the hardest thing that I've ever experienced. And that so many do, to try to replace that feeling of not being in pain or just not feeling, mm-hmm. you know, fill in the blank, but it's a very dangerous place. But I'm not trying to make this negative. I want to make this about, I'm just very grateful to be here in this moment right now, you know, in the introspection piece of what you're sharing and what I just shared. And here we are, right. You know, coming together, with the same, end state of being a better man, being yep. a better leader, motivating people to not motivating people, but, giving something people, being a positive male role model, mm-hmm. like for our wives, for our children, for our community. And there is no finish line for that one either.
You know, you've said it many times and I just want to capitalize on it. I think in 2020, I did a podcast and it was during a flux in politics and it was very tumultuous. There was a lot of stuff going on mm-hmm. in 2020, you know, a lot of just strife and protests and yeah. cities burning and, you know, this political divide. It was horrible. I decided I'm just going to try to stay out of the noise, but I did a podcast and, the guys on it were just a little visceral. And they were a little bit gloom and doom, and I'm not a gloom and doom guy. I'm just not, I don't see the necessity for it. And it was, I think during the culmination, they were talking about all this stuff, all these things, all these negative things. And they said, Pat Mack, what are you most concerned with? You know, what bothers you with all this stuff going on? What's getting your goat? And I said, nothing, none of it. None of it's going to have an effect on me because my objective is to take care of me so I could take care of my family. And how is anybody going to screw that up for me? Nobody can. Nobody can. Other I don't care you. What the yeah. prices are yeah. or what the restrictions are or how or if I'm getting censored or because all that stuff was happening. And I just learned, you know what? I don't Jimmy Crackhorn and I don't care because I need to take care of myself so I can take care of my family. And who's to get in the way of it? Nobody and nothing.
Yeah. Dude, that's huge. Like, that's why I told you, like, protecting myself from myself.
Right.
Because I'm the only one that's going to rob me of that peace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of that gift, of yep. that ability to give, to mm-hmm. provide, to protect. I'm the only one that's going to rob me of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what a man is.
Right.
Like, in case y'all are curious, that's what being a man is. And it doesn't matter when we came to that conclusion, but it does matter what we do with it once we found it.
Right.
That conclusion, because I got my identity from everything else my whole life. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. That's how I live my life. That's why Blue Bearing is Blue Bearing. There's a direct play on the Radisson Blue Hotel that I responded to with the way it's spelled. Mm. But bearing, man, bearing the weight of the world. If we don't know where we're going,
right.
if we don't have a good bearing, mm-hmm. then any road will take us there. Mm-hmm. And how we carry ourselves, our military bearing. So that's why Blue Bearing is Blue Bearing. But it took me 37 years to come to that conclusion. And what am I going to do with it? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you see every day. I'm the same man that I am with you right now, that I am in front of my family, that I am in front of classes or on social media. It's consistency. That's what they need. That's what my wife deserves. That's what my children deserve. That's what the community deserves. Mm-hmm. And I think I think you're a wonderful example of what consistency can bring and be in this public, social, firearms, tactical, whatever space that we are in, preparedness, mm-hmm. right? It ultimately boils down to preparedness. Right. That's why we exist in this space. Mm-hmm. It's not to try to emulate, look at that fit he's got on. Like, sure, I like things that work. Right. And those things will sell themselves and companies will see that. And that's okay. And that's a part of building a business.
Yep.
But ultimately, like, our brand is us, and how we carry ourselves matters the most, mm-hmm. In that brand. And, it doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes and fail. Like you said, on the range, man, if we're doing things without failure,
right?
Like, what are we really doing?
Yep. It's a biological necessity.
Yeah.
Failure. But we got to learn from the past, prepare for the future, and perform in the present. But we have to accept that, you know, that failure.
Yeah. Be where your feet are.
Yeah.
That's so important. But I like the way you say the learn from the past, prepare for the future, and be in the present.
Yep.
Because I say be where your feet are, right? From a psychology perspective, like, there's the problems of tomorrow that can take us outside of where our feet are, but there's also even just the close quarters battle kind of thing. If you skip certain things, that it's compounding and snowballing.
Yeah.
Little things become big things. Mm-hmm. Little things become more difficult situations for yourself. So that's being where your feet are, man. And it's huge. And that doesn't mean don't plan and don't visualize. Absolutely. Like when I lay my head down at night, you know, instead of me focusing like I used to, every day I'd go home from work and be like, man, I should have did more. I could have did one more of this. I messed this up. And then I would consume myself with what I messed up that day, mm-hmm. versus just cataloging a few things and then focusing on maybe one or two things that went well. How do I do that again? And then I visualize the next day. Mm-hmm. So I try to do this every night. When I start visualizing the next day with a lot of detail,
yep.
not just a little detail, yep. like very, very specific. And what that does is it puts me into this like deepened state of meditation. And for me, that moment when my mind starts to wander, I'm like, cool. 'Cause it will. I remember to pray. And that puts me into, and then I sleep much better than I ever used to.
Yep. I am on that. I'm still a slave to whiteboards. Just like we use at the unit.
Yeah.
Yep. So we had team, troop, squatter. Mm-hmm. At home, I have three whiteboards and they're basically the same. I have the yearly, I have what's coming up in the next month, and I have tomorrow.
Nice.
Tomorrow's on my refrigerator. And one of the things I put on there is the workout. I just jot it down because I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. But I know I don't capitulate to a lot, but I will capitulate to my own whiteboard. And when I see power day and then maybe a movement, I like to go to sleep thinking about that, because that's the one thing during my day that I need. I need that to fuel my being, mm-hmm. and just for self-preservation, longevity. I need that fitness in there. And now that I have it on the board, I could go to sleep and think about that and the other things that are on my whiteboard and sleep with a good, clear conscious of having a plan. So that way you wake up with purpose, because that's something that career military guys have avoided, daily purpose and meaning. So I need that purpose for the next day. And it's as simple as a whiteboard, and it could be a menial task, but I've got the task.
That's so important, man. That's so important. So I that's something that I might actually adopt too.
Whiteboards are a wonder.
The year, the month, and then the next day.
Yep.
I think that's so important, because I say this a lot. If you've heard me say this, I'm still working on this, but it's starting my day off proactively versus reactively. And it starts the night before, it starts the day before, right? So having that day laid out is, you know, at least with some core things that you are like, these are no fails, right? Like, I'm going to do these. I think that's going to help for me, because reactive means the first thing I reach for is this.
Yep.
And instantly let the world in.
Yep. Don't do it.
This is my sanctuary, you know, and the moment I let the world in, I've now violated my own sanctuary.
My rule is 2 hours, not get on it for 2 hours after, you know, after wake up.
Dude,
computer, phone.
The psychology of this, I'm sure it's already coming out, or will come out, or is out. What this is doing to us, like, it's such a powerful tool, but it's becoming such a like a slave. We're a slave to this.
And brain slug.
Yeah, is that what you call it? The brain slug? Yeah, man.
Yeah, I took that term from Futurama, you know, they were on a planet and and they got infected with this type of leech, you know, and and they were normal. They just walked around like dirt, and they had this brain slug on their head, you know, just sucking the life from them. And that's what that thing is, the brain slug. And so long as I call it that and know that it's unhealthy, you know, that's what Rebecca and I refer
to. Even with it sitting on my lap.
Yeah,
like
right.
It just vibrated. It's a brain slug,
right?
And it's it's such a
human condition. They're not in the bedroom when we sleep or anything like that, you know? Yep.
That's powerful.
And we try to minimize the amount of time. Even for an influencer, you know that it's a necessity, right? It's a necessity. You got to get
on. We can rationalize just about anything with that, too.
So I'm going to have to get on there as a part of work. But the thing is, I need, you know, we all need to limit the amount of time we spend on that thing. And it does not want us to limit that time. It's going to tell you, look at me some more. Here's some scared, angry, stupid, scared, angry, stupid.
I love that. Well, I definitely am excited to dive into to some more things with you on the bonus episode, which will come out next week. But before we end this one, I wanted to give you a gift from Blue Bearing and from the Black and Blue podcast as well. One of our sponsors, Roka Performance Eyewear.
Oh, love Roka.
And there's some Blue Bearing swag in there.
Nice.
I'll let you check that out.
Yeah, thank you for that. All right. I love me a goodie bag. Nice.
It's It's full to the...
Yep. And I'm going to reciprocate in kind by contributing to your home gym.
Yes.
By giving you two sets of these get you some bands.
Get you some.
Yeah, get you some. It's just a better band, you know?
No,
just a better band than the strap bands, and they'll last longer.
Does it have,
no, they're just loops.
Just loops.
Yep.
Okay.
They're just loops. Yep.
Are they fixed loops though?
What's that?
Is it a fixed loop?
Yeah, it's a fixed loop.
Oh, it's just a circle band. Gotcha.
Yep.
So you can wrap it around whatever.
Band.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
No, check these out.
It's a travel gym.
Is it getyousome.com? Or is it on
No, it's off of, it's off of all my feed, like my link tree on my T-Max Inc. Instagram.
Yeah. So check these out. I'm going to pop it open real quick.
Yeah.
Just so people can see them.
They're wonderful. They're wonderful. And the green band will hurt your, it'll hurt your feelings.
The green band will hurt. That's the first one I pulled
It'll hurt your feelings.
Yeah. Get you so.
Yeah, but it'll hurt your feelings.
No, this is huge. I'm actually building out a travel kind of recovery kit. And this is a part of it too, man. Because, dude, like last year around, well, May, I had a lumbar surgery, my L4, L5, recovered from that. And then August, I think I just did too much too soon, helmet, night vision, and the level above my C67. So C5, C6 like blew out and I couldn't even feel my left arm, my whole left hand arm. Yep. And it's just now, they were potentially going to actually out in Southern Pines, Pinehurst Surgical.
Yep.
They were going to potentially have to fuse the level above, but not yet. I'm doing physical therapy and just trying to be, just take care of myself. So band work is essential for that shoulder mobility and the,
Yep, and before working in the transverse plane. Oh my God!
Oh yeah. So check this out on all his feeds. We'll post a link to it, but get you some. We'll take and then we'll have a travel set too.
Yep,
travel for the team. But show those TL1s. I wanted to talk about that real quick, just because you had mentioned like in Roka. Actually, those Rokas.
Yeah, I love
those are the AT1s on your head,
right?
Which is awesome. That wasn't pre-planned,
right?
So. Mac's been a believer in Roka for a long time.
For a minute. Yeah. Great. I love their eyewear. I think I wear exclusive. I don't think I wear any other.
Dude, I'm going to definitely connect you directly again. I know you had a relationship.
Oh,
but
my last set, they were just too scratched up for me. So I gifted them to my son.
So they have replacement lenses too.
Right on.
For those, for the TL1s, you can get.
Because they're so light, you know, they're just, it's like nothing is there. Plus they're sexy.
Yes. What did you say if about looking cool? Like the.
Finish strong or finish looking cool.
That's how we did on the range today. Yes. So, no, dude, it truly is. It's an honor to have you here, man. And I'm not just placating
Thank
words.
You. Yes.
Like, I respect what you've been doing and how consistent you've been And I look forward to building this relationship with you.
Right on.
We're neighbors, you know, we're right down the road, not too far. And
45 minutes.
It just so happened that we know someone that we're doing some training with and they had brought you up recently. And I was like, man, I know I have his number. And I just, I was like, hey, Pat, is this still a good number for you?
Right, yep.
And then here you are. Yep. So thank you for
just like that.
Thank you for that, man. Yep. I really do.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And I look forward to, like I said, you know, more cross-pollinization.
Oh yeah. Cross-pollinization is a good thing. Yes. Plus I have so much more to add here.
Yeah. Well, so that's why I'm saying, check us out on the Patreon bonus episode, which you can watch on Spotify, the integration piece. Now, if you're a Patreon Black and Blue tier member, you can watch this the next episode next week on Spotify now through that integration. Did I miss anything as far as the plugs? Oh, click that link. Is it there? Click it. But I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to diving into more with you on the next one.
Absolutely.
But until then, let's just all continue the podcast.